A federal judge in San Francisco yesterday rejected the U.S. government's latest attempt to invoke state secrets privilege to dismiss a lawsuit challenging warrantless mass surveillance of Americans' telephone calls and internet records. The ruling in the federal court for the Northern District of California comes in the class action lawsuit Juul versus NSA, filed in 2008 by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Early in 2009, the Obama administration moved to dismiss that lawsuit, claiming the litigation over the wiretapping program would require the government to disclose privileged state secrets and that the government itself was immune from lawsuits. But the court instead ruled that the case should be dismissed on issues of standing, saying basically the plaintiffs were not legally qualified to sue. In December of 2011, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Juul could proceed in the district court. Last year, EFF moved to have the court declare that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Law applies instead of the state secrets privilege, and the government renewed its state secrets claims. Cindy Cohen, legal director of EFF, calls yesterday's ruling a tremendous victory for the American people.
Because it means that the government can't scuttle this question out of the courts by just claiming it's all too secret. The court recognized that the FISA law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, when it was written in 1978, specifically provided a process for the federal courts, the open public federal courts, to decide whether electronic surveillance was legal or not, and that that provision applied to our claims, and so the case could go forward on most of the claims that we've raised.
What was the origin of this case?
Well, this case really arises from the very same facts that Mr. Snowden just made public with regard to Verizon. Basically, that the government is scooping up copies of everyone's telephone records. It also includes a second fact that Mr. Snowden also confirmed recently, which is the government has real-time access to the internet backbone, the fiber optic cables that carry our internet traffic. So both of these two things, the telephone records and the direct access to the internet backbone, have been in this case since the beginning. What recently happened, which was tremendously important, is additional information confirming that what we've been saying is true, as well as admissions by the government that what we're saying is true. So the case got a tremendous boost from that information, but this particular ruling isn't based on the new information. It's based on the old information that we've had for several years.
That information also included actual documentation of a hub in the AT&T offices in San Francisco where this information was being collected.
That's correct. On Folsom Street in San Francisco, there's a facility, an AT&T facility. And in that facility, there's a special fiber optic splitter equipment that sends a copy of everybody's internet-bound communications to the NSA. Again, this is something that we've known since 2006 because we have a whistleblower named Mark Klein who brought in evidence of it. And it was recently confirmed by the information released by Mr. Snowden.
Now, if the information that Snowden released was not the impetus behind this particular ruling, what was it that was in the information that you've been presenting all along that finally convinced the judge that the state secrets privilege did not apply?
Well, the argument is actually a legal argument. We have a mountain of facts and several boxes of them that we presented to the court. But the decision itself isn't based on the facts. It's based on the law. You know, in 1978, the last time the NSA was caught spying on Americans domestically, Congress passed a law called the FISA law. People are familiar with it because one of the other things it did was it established this secret court that has gotten a lot of criticism recently. But the main thing that it did was it allowed for litigation to determine whether electronic surveillance was legal or not, and it created a process for that that the judge said preempts the state secrets privilege. Basically, the state secrets privilege was overwritten by Congress in the FISA law to ensure that the American people could have access to the open public federal courts in order to determine whether electronic surveillance is legal or not.
Does this ruling apply to any of the other cases in which the state secrets privilege has been invoked?
It doesn't directly apply to any other cases yet because it's just a district court. But I think the analysis would apply in any case involving electronic surveillance.
Your press release says the court allowed the constitutional question to go forward, but it dismissed some of the statutory claims. What are the statutory claims, and what is the significance of that part of the ruling?
The statutory claims that the judge dismissed are the claims that are seeking injunctive and declaratory relief. We think that the FISA law allows us to get an injunction to stop the government from continuing to do the electronic surveillance, and the judge disagreed. But we can get an injunction to stop the surveillance under the constitutional claim, so we can get to the same result. The confusing part of the decision is that the judge said that our damages claims under the FISA law could go forward, but that our injunctive claims could not. But then in the conclusion of the opinion and the introduction of the opinion said that all of our statutory claims were gone and we were left only with the constitutional claims. And that's the part we're going to ask him to try to clarify. The other thing that the judge did was we named several Bush administration and Obama administration officials in their personal capacities, not just in their official capacities, because everybody has a personal responsibility to protect the Constitution. The judge dismissed those, and those issues weren't even raised in this motion. So we have two things that we have to clear up with the court and make sure that we get the case decided.
So what's the next step for this particular case now?
The judge has asked us to file some additional briefing on some issues and to come see him in late August to discuss next steps. You know, we'd like to push forward with the next step in our case, which is to say, well, now that the judge has held that we can determine whether the surveillance is legal in the federal courts, we want the judge to rule that indeed it was illegal and unconstitutional specifically. And that will be our next step. Now, the government probably will have the option to try to get Judge White's ruling looked at by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they haven't yet said which way they're going to go, but their strategy all along has been to slow walk this case and drag it out for as long as possible. So I do anticipate that they're going to try to get the Ninth Circuit to look at this and maybe even the Supreme Court before we get to take the next step. But we will keep pushing. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, but it's important because the surveillance of Americans continues every day.
Cindy Cohen is legal director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation.